everybody. This is Dave Garamelli, your philanthropist, and we are on Philanthropy. I once again have an amazing partner and guest. We have Eric Brown with us today. He's the vice president of Outsuite Marketing and OS Social. He is considered kind of one of the national, Eric, gurus, can I say that, on social media? And you work with celebrities, business professionals, not-for-profit leaders, really across the country, talking to them about marketing, but also the importance of social media. And I guess you could say you're a social media coach for them. You speak nationally, you're coaching, you're a published author, you're just an innovator in the social media space. You're part of the American Marketing Association. And if I am correct, you just launched a new social media platform called OS Social. Yeah. So I'm excited, and hopefully we have some time. I want to hear a little bit about that. But we want to kind of jump right in to really a dilemma that's facing all of our partners in the not-for-profit space, whether they are a healthcare client or a zoo or a social service agency. How the heck do we get our arms around this like social media mammoth, and what's the best way to do this? So I'm going to sit back and leave it to you for a while.
Well, thank you for the introduction. I certainly do not view myself as a guru. But I definitely have a lot of passion about social media marketing, and I kind of bring that to the table whenever we're working with our clients. So how do you wrap yourself around this mammoth, I think you called it, called social media marketing? And I think it's all about being strategic, right? So if you look at every social platform, every social opportunity out there, it does feel like a mammoth project to take on. I think you have to start, you know, one of the systems we created at Outsuite is called reverse inbox marketing.
Right. It's funny. I heard it from your partner, Shane, at some point, and it was the first time I had heard of it. And I love that idea because, talk to us about the box.
It's so important.
Right.
So, and that's how you kind of deal with your question, right? How do you deal with the mammoth of social media? So first of all, everyone thinks that you got to think outside the box and go in a million different directions to actually tackle that mammoth. And it's not true. So first of all, do you have a box?
There you go.
What are your core pieces that you're bringing to the table to begin with? Who are your clients? Who are your targets? What pieces of marketing do you already have in place? You know, do you have videos for your company? Because of course we know video outperforms
absolutely
static images by almost 80%+, right?
It's crazy.
So do you have a box to begin with? Because if you don't have a box, how can you think outside of it? Right.
All right. Fair enough.
We pull people back in. And so to answer a reverse inbox marketing question on social, it would be, okay, who are your target audiences? Then you say, where do those target audiences hang out on social, right? So do they spend a lot of time on Facebook? Do they spend a lot of time on Instagram? Are they a LinkedIn type client, right? Mm-hmm. Once you figure that out, it simplifies the game a little bit. And then you kind of focus as a business on the social platforms that are more likely to have the attention of your potential client.
How focused can a not-for-profit be in targeting its audience? So I'm a zoo, or I'm about conservation, or I am a cancer center, or I am a diaper bank. It runs the gamut. And, we have limited resources, right? We rely on philanthropy to make a go of it. So it's important to choose wisely.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. Again, we do a lot of reverse inbox marketing here. So you may have limited resources, but you have an advantage in the nonprofit world that most businesses do not have. And that advantage, in my opinion, is you have a story and a message that moves
people. Yeah, sure.
Right. So if I'm selling vitamins, that's not really going to get people's emotions stirred and get them into a story, where what you guys are doing is actually helping people, making a difference in people's lives, bringing things to their lives mm-hmm. that enrich them. Therefore, you have an advantage. You just need to lead with that advantage.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we always talk about with our partners is the importance of like a peer-to-peer fundraising or philanthropy program, in that people want to hear those stories and they want to hear it from somebody that's like them. And does that make sense from a social media perspective?
It probably makes more sense from a social media perspective, right? I mean, you're talking about a marketing system that's based on being social. It's based.
Sure. Absolutely. Right.
You know, so I think that's definitely the place you should go. If you're a nonprofit and you don't know where to start and you're wanting to get things out there, you figure out who your targets are, what platforms their attention is, you should be leading with those stories of real people telling their stories about how your organization has impacted them.
Is it okay if the organization is using, lack of a fancier term, like homemade videos, right? So I go out with my phone and I see the baby tiger that was just born, and this is the only tiger of this species left in the world. Is it okay if I use this to promote that?
Yeah. So short answer, yes. Long answer, I remember when the trend was you better have a high-end 4K professionally edited video,
right?
Or else you looked ridiculous, right? Then that totally flipped and it was you better have raw phone style videos to look authentic, right?
Okay.
And now the whole thing's flipped again, where it's you better have both.
All right.
You know? Okay. So you better have high-end quality videos that show that you're a professional organization and what you bring and the value you bring. And at the same time, you better have those cute little authentic videos of the baby tiger.
Sure. All right. That's a good point, because I did not know if it had swung in a different direction, and we get asked that all the time, to the point where a lot of organizations kind of shied away from it altogether because they were spinning, and I don't know if it was embarrassment, it was a struggle for them. So to know that you can do both is yes. Okay. And I think that correct me if I'm wrong, but you can produce a higher end video at a fraction of what the cost used to be now.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, that's the power of the iPhone, right?
So
I mean, you can shoot a 4K quality video on an iPhone.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
But look, right. David, here's the thing. Like, the technology has made things easier for everyone, but people still don't do it.
Well, is it because they, and you, so you're out there, you're dealing with your own clients and coaching gigs. Is it because they don't have content, or they have too much content, so they're like, forget it, I'm done?
Honestly, number one answer is people are self-conscious. And so they don't want to be judged. And they forget that no one really cares about them anyway. They care about what value they're bringing to them, right? So that's the number one reason. But number two, yeah, you're right. People struggle with, what do I say? How do I put this together? How should the content come across?
Right.
And that's where, you know, at least having, you know, someone like OutSuite or someone who does this type of thing to kind of walk you through that process, kind of coach you along, really, really goes a long way.
Is there... So this is another challenge or question that I get asked when we're putting together kind of an outreach plan for an organization. They ask, what's too much? Is there too much, or is it based on the individual organization from a social media perspective?
Well, listen, with the nonprofits that we've worked with, the people that we have, you know, consulted with, that rarely has ever come up being a problem. Most nonprofits we talk to, they are not doing enough, right? But at the same time, if you are in that position where you do have a lot of content and say you have a marketing person who's pushing things on social for you, you don't want to overwhelm your audience. You know, you never want your content to come across to spam, right, to your audience.
Okay.
So my advice, if you want specific, if you're a not-for-profit right now and you're putting stuff out on your socials in a targeted way, I would say 3 pieces of content per week is more than sufficient.
And then kind of question 1.2, if you're on multiple platforms, so I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, I'm Facebook, I'm on whatever, TikTok, should it always be the same, or can you put different messages out on different platforms, or does that confuse the audience?
So let me give you a simple answer and a more complicated answer.
Well, thanks.
The simple answer is most content creators are going to put the same piece of content out on all platforms because it's easier. Sure. And they just don't have the time to customize every piece of content for each platform. The long answer is it should be customized because the psychology of a user on
Facebook
is different than the psychology of a user on LinkedIn.
The demographics are different too, right?
They're different. You know, what do people do, David, when they get on Facebook generally? They catch up on their friends and family, see pictures of Christmas and what's going on.
Right.
Maybe drop a nice comment to someone they haven't talked to in a while. Right. But then what's the behavior of someone on LinkedIn? They're looking for a job. They're networking with professionals in their industry. It's a very different psychology. So if you have the ability to cater your message to that psychology, because after all, that's all marketing is, right? It's psychology. You know, getting the right message in front of the right people at the right place and time is where you find success.
So I want to get back to this later in our conversation, but there are platforms, and I think you even have one with the OS Social where people can, you can manage multiple platforms, even if you're a small shop, right? Correct. So it's not insanely expensive, and it doesn't have to be daunting. You can figure this out as an organization.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. I've asked you this question probably 6 different ways during the course of our relationship, but if I am XYZ organization and they say, David, we need to drive our philanthropic dollars up, but we also know we've taken your advice. We need to be on social media, but we could invest in one platform time-wise. What is it?
I almost hate to say it at this point because it just seems so repetitious, right? But the reality is Facebook has 2.4 billion human beings that engage with that platform.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
How do you not put your message on a platform that reaches more potential, you know, clients than any other platform?
On that, what have you seen, or what is your feeling professionally about organizations using social media as a platform, not only for awareness, right? Because we know that you learn about individuals, you learn about the company, you learn about the charity, but as a platform to increase their donor base and their philanthropic dollars, because heck, you know what? It's been an amazing year in that individuals have been so generous, but at the same time, the competition for philanthropic dollars has never been greater. So everyone is looking for different ways to get their message across to potential philanthropists.
Right. Yeah. Well, twofold. So that awareness you're talking about, that can easily be done just by whatever you're posting on your socials, right? If you're consistent, you have that message posting, say something every Monday, something every Wednesday, and something every Friday. That's your awareness, keeps what you're doing top of mind. When it comes to actually courting donors, that's where targeted ads come in. So you must be running targeted ads
as opposed to a direct ask on, hey, give to XYZ charity.
Yeah.
So it's an ad.
You can do both, but if you're really wanting to reach someone in a targeted way on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, any of these platforms, you need to be running targeted ads because the platforms are so detailed in putting your content in front of the right people. That's how you're going to generate those sales and leads.
Can you explain the targeted ad to the therapist listener out there who doesn't get it or gets it at a minimal level, including me, myself? Right. Yeah. Like I understand like the ads and
yeah.
I can tell you over the past decade, I've probably spent thousands of dollars on Google ads and Facebook ads. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worked. Maybe it hasn't. Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah. So I have this conversation a lot with people. Obviously, I can give you a nutshell of why running those ads are important and why they work. But number two, it's like any marketing, David. If you are not consistent with it, and if you not have a good focus strategy that's been thought out at the beginning, then you're just wasting money. And that's what most people do.
Yeah, they get an idea.
They create a little ad, they run it for 2 or 3 weeks, and they're like, well, I didn't get anything out of that. And they stop. Right. Yeah. So you have to have a strategic plan and you have to be consistent with it. And when I say consistent, I mean a strategic plan for a year, for 12 months, where you are hitting your targets with your ads consistently for 12 months. Right. So that's a big focal point. But if you want results, those are the kind of things you have to do. So that's one part of it. But let's talk about kind of go back your nutshell. Why do the ads work? Why should we do the ads? So we just talked about Facebook. 2.4 billion plus human beings interacting with it, right? Okay. I mean, it's crazy. It's mind
blowing. No, it is. It's insane.
The ads platform is so good. We've never seen anything like that for one reason. What is Facebook doing with all those 2.4 billion users every day? What are they doing?
I don't know. Tell me. I mean, I know what they're doing.
Their data.
They're trolling and they know everything about
collecting their data. So they know, for instance, if you love going to a museum, you post photos of museums, you talk about museums, you've gone to them and checked in at the museum.
Right.
They know this data. So if you're running an NPO and you're running a targeted ad toward people who would like to give to a museum foundation, guess where that ad's going to go? Right in front of those people. So it's incredibly effective.
And so kind of to take that question a little bit farther, one of the things that kind of hampers folks from investing in this is they get confused on what the metrics are and how they can show value. Are you able to look at the ad and say, hey, it reached 27,000 people over the past 3 days? And but you just don't know who they are, right? That's still private. So you don't know that I went to XYZ Museum?
Yes and no. So it depends on the type of ad you're running, correct? So you have an objective with your ad. Your objective could be to drive people to your website. Okay. Your objective could be to get people to send you a private message. Your objective could be to fill out a lead form, right? There are all these different objectives you could do. Mm-hmm. You could have video views. All you want is for people to watch your video. Like these are all objectives you can choose from. Some of them actually can give you direct personal data, like a lead generating ad. Is going to, once the person clicks the ad and fills out the lead form, you're going to have their name, their phone number, and their email address.
Right.
So, but to kind of answer your question about data. So you have always been in a position as a business to go into Facebook's ads manager and look at a report on how your ad's performing.
Okay.
Unfortunately, most people don't know that. And even if they did know that, the ads manager platform is so it's a cluster, you know, like it's not user-friendly. People get lost. They don't understand what it means. So that's kind of why we created the OS.social platform. We actually have a reporting tool in our platform that pulls all that information from all your campaigns and puts it into one simplified report that breaks down all the demographics, who you've reached, where you've reached them. Like, that's what people need, right? They need a simple way to show, is this working? You know,
so. Well, why invest if it's not, right? Especially in the not-for-profit world where resources are tight, right? And you want your monies to go back to whatever it is that you're trying to serve. Why you want to create community benefit. You don't want to spend all your resources on marketing or staff. I mean, it's important. Obviously, we want to invest in that, but we want to get the most, show the most value to our, whoever our stakeholders are.
Yeah. So let me give you an example. So we have a client who had never run any ads, targeted ads ever. Okay. So I said, listen, let us put together a targeted ad for you. It's a video. We'll put together a video ad for you and we'll target it. They traveled, they did shows all across the country. And 10 days before a show, we would target the video ad on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
To that geographic area. So say, for instance, this client was going to Cincinnati, Ohio. We would target 10 days before that client would arrive in Cincinnati, this ad to their demographic in Cincinnati, Ohio. We did that for six months. We increased their ticket sales by 33% in 6 months. It blew their mind, but it's really not rocket science. You know, we were consistent. We
had there was consistency, plan, sure.
You know, and we hit their demographic. And it's really that message is true for any business. If you're consistent and strategic and you're hitting your target, you're going to see that same type of growth in your business and sales.
Okay. All right. I like that. You know, and I need to become better educated on the benefits of social media and driving potential new donors and prospects, because frankly, it's what our partners deserve and what they are asking for. So
let me simplify it for you and for everyone who watches and listens to this podcast. It's this simple. Ready? The only way you will ever grow your business is if you have the attention of your potential client. Attention.
Right. Okay? So you need to grow your charity. You need to have you need to be in front of your potential donor, your potential volunteer. Exactly. All right.
Well, A, you need their attention, but then B, from a strategic standpoint, where is their attention? Right now, through 2020, social media has had more macro attention than it's ever had in the history of social media. More eyeballs are on these social platforms right now than ever. That's it. That's where the attention is. So that answers your question. I need to understand why this is so important. That's why it's so important.
All right. I need you to, and I'm going to date myself here, but put on your Karnak hat. And if we're looking into the future, what is the platform? I know we want to be looking at Facebook and Instagram, and those are key, right? Because our organization's followers use them. But is there a platform we should be thinking about as a not-for-profit organization moving into 21, 22, 23?
Yeah. So first of all, I'd like to say that I don't think MySpace is going to make a comeback.
Okay.
I don't see that happening.
All right. Fair enough. Hopefully none of their investors are on this call, so are on this podcast.
Right. But here's the thing. Facebook has really positioned itself well to be successful for a very long time.
Okay.
And the way that they have done that is with their acquisition of Instagram several years ago, mm-hmm. and with their acquisition of WhatsApp. Okay.
So I didn't know that they had WhatsApp was in their family. Okay.
So that has really lifted the ship at Facebook. So even when the platform at Facebook may be having a drop in users at any given time, or popularity, or have issues. Those other two things keep it floating quite nicely. Okay. And especially Instagram. So I feel like I'm repeating myself. We've been saying this now for what?
But don't worry about it. It's still Facebook.
3 years.
I'll repeat it.
Kind of, but it's really Instagram. Facebook owns it. So yes, it's Facebook. But Instagram still has more macro attention and a wider age demographic of attention than any other social media platform.
I find one of the things I find fascinating about Instagram is that even people who quote unquote hate social media use Instagram. Yeah.
So I think Instagram is really important. And from an MPO perspective, I would say view Instagram as kind of the gateway drug, right? You're not going to put a big piece of content on Instagram that's got a lot of depth in it. You just need something that's going to grab someone's attention to get them to go somewhere else to get more information.
Okay. All right. And video, right? Not the static image.
Why waste your time at this point? I mean, we know toward, I think, October of 2020, the stats were static images had a 14% engagement rate. Video, 89. I mean, it's not even
close. Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. What about content? You know, we'll get pushed, well, look, we're saving lives. We should talk about, you know, in detail, the newest surgery equipment or whatever it is. Is that just not worth it anymore?
I disagree. I think it's
okay. I don't know. It's all right.
Listen, the problem isn't should you have video anymore. I think everyone knows they need video, right? The question is, you're never going to have enough.
Okay.
You know, everything should be documented. If you're an organization, you need to be documenting every piece of what you do with video content that can then be put into little pieces that you can use in your marketing.
Well, I want to kind of go back then to something you said at the beginning to kind of cap this, in that you need to be doing it all the time, right? And it's never enough. You need both that kind of professional, crisp look, but also those homemade
authentic
type videos. Authentic, thank you. But this is, I'm going to kind of, to my listeners, from a personal perspective, you know, Eric has helped me with some of our kind of marketing efforts in the use of video. And I will tell you, I was that person and representing TGC saying, no way, that's odd. I don't like the way the shirt looks or the way my beard is or the way my hair is combed. Guess what? And he kept telling me this, and it was a little crush to my ego, but people don't care. They want to know about the content, and people love to interact. And from a business perspective, I thank you on that, Eric. Thank you for kind of guiding us that way. Somebody thinks that this is top notch. Any way they can get in touch with you?
Sure.
To talk about either OutSuite or OS Social.
Yeah,
absolutely. What's your email and website, maybe?
You know, first of all, I mean, texting is really important these days, right?
Oh.
So you can certainly text or call me at 937-422-8376, or you could just shoot me an email at eric@outsuite.com.
Eric, thank you so much. Any parting words or end of year wisdom?
I would say thank you for having me on the podcast. I love talking these things with you. I think you do really great work for your clients. And
well, we appreciate that.
To support that. And I would just tell everyone, you know, 2020 obviously hasn't been the brightest light that we have ever experienced, right?
Fair enough. At the
same time, there's always a flip side to everything. And there's tremendous opportunities that are created in these moments. Especially for not-for-profits. And mm-hmm. I just want to add that positivity. You know, everyone look at the fact that there's opportunities out there that we can all grasp and have a much better 2021, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Eric, on behalf of the Philanthropy family, thank you for being a guest. Yeah. And we would like to make a gift to a charity of your choice as a, just as token of appreciation. So if you can let us know, where you would like that to go, we'd be honored to do that.
Great, that's wonderful. Thank you.
So blessings for 21, and thank you, and thank you everybody for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.